the service next week, and I want to be sure that we are an educated church, that we're prepared for this meeting. So I also want us to be prepared for how we will respond to that meeting throughout the coming year, right? As part of the body of Christ, we all have roles to play. So to prepare us, I want to look at how God has directed how God has directed this church in developing the ministries that we do, ministries that we support, and the general work that we try to accomplish here for the glory of God. What is it that we are supporting with our tithes and offerings that we just took up and we do each Sunday as the offering is taken? I want to be sure that we are a people that is not blindly giving out of duty or obligation. I want us to be informed, and I want us, frankly, to be excited about giving. In fact, God is also interested in a cheerful giver. It says so in His Word, right? We can see that in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, where the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver." My goal this morning is to help us see how God's hand, in the work of this church, so that we will gladly, bountifully sow and therefore bountifully reap, and that we would be cheerful givers and therefore please God in our giving. Now, to get there, I think it's important to once again kind of lay a foundation for cheerful giving. And I believe this foundation is rooted in where we got what we got. You get that? Where we got what we got. First Chronicles. We'll go a little Old Testament on you this morning. First Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to read verses 10 through 16. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 16 says this. "So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all of the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand. And all is yours." See, this is a prayer from King David. And David here gives glory to God for all David and his people have, for God has done, and for all that God will do. David says, "Everything that is in the heavens and the earth are of your making. You are the head over all. Riches and honor comes from you." See, to me, that means that the skills and the talents that you have to do your job, that came from God. That new raise or that new promotion, that came from God. In your hand, O God, is power and might. In your hand lies the ability to make great and to strengthen everyone. I like this. Then David humbles himself. He says, who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you. And then the basis of the message this morning in verse 16. This abundance that we have been provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is your hand. It is from your hand, and all is yours. King David boils this down for us. It is all God's, but God willingly provides for his people. And we kind of see this concept of God as owning it all reinforced in Psalms 24, verse 1, which reads like this. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. So, with all this in mind, this is that it is all God's. We provided a copy of our proposed budget, the one that we'll vote on next week, in each bulletin handed out. The proposed budget is essentially our sermon outline today. If you didn't get one, you can put your hand up, and I think Cliff was going to run some around for those who didn't have one and want one. You can put your hand high so we can see you and chase you down. So what we see, working down through sort of the expense category, so the first expense category is for Sunday school, and we provide Sunday school, for those who don't know, for kids as young as pre-K, all the way up through us old fart adults. The funds designated in these lines are used to provide materials to these to assist the teachers that in each of those age groups. And Romans 12, verse 2, is one basis for this kind of ministry, and it reads like this. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, we have been talking a lot lately about the transformation process, haven't we? Being made more and more into the image of Christ. It is the sanctification process. It's the being made holy process. And Paul, in this passage in Romans, tells us that one way we can be transformed more into the image of Jesus is by renewing our minds. And our minds are renewed by seeking a greater understanding of our Creator, the Father, by seeking a greater understanding of our Savior, Jesus Christ, by seeking a greater understanding of our Helper, the Holy Spirit. And one purpose in this renewing of our minds is so that we cannot be deceived by the great deceiver, but instead we will know what the will of God is, what is perfect, what is acceptable to Him. And this same passage of Scripture is applicable to a number of line items, like GEMS, which is an after-school program for girls on two Fridays a month that Rosie and Denise run. It's also applicable to the Bible studies line, which is used for a number of Bible studies throughout the week, and these are all highlighted in the bulletin week in and week out. You can see those. It is also applicable to junior church, to men's ministry, to women's ministry, to vacation Bible school, and to youth group, and also to train those who teach. This passage is also applicable to the line item called ministry training. These ministries look to apply this concept of renewing our minds so that we may know what the will of God is. All right, now look with me at Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37. Mark 9, 36 and 37 says this. Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, this is Jesus, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me, does not receive me, but him who sent me. So Jesus, in this passage, quickly gives us a sense of the importance of children in these verses, doesn't he? And I believe one of the signs of a healthy church is the presence of children with their families. And the budget here highlights this importance with Sunday school for school-age children, with GEMS Club for young girls, with junior church, with nursery, with vacation Bible school, and with youth group. Maintaining and growing the ministries that serve our children is critical to the health of any church. And some like to say that the children are the future of the church. Well, I believe that they are important to the present state of the church as well, right? Well, look with me now at Romans 12, verse 15. It says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." And this is a verse that is the very basis for the ministry we call the cards. Maybe you've received one. The church sends out cards to rejoice with you on your birthday. We also send out cards to weep with you as you go through an illness or a surgery or a tragedy such as a death in your family. And then we can look at Galatians 6, verse 2 that says this, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We have a line called casseroles, and as we meet the needs of individuals and families that are dealing with crises in their lives, we can provide meals for them as they go through that, take one thing off the table that they don't have to worry about. The service ministry line is a strong example of bearing one another's burdens by helping with things like wood splitting, stacking, and preparing for the winter, and roof shoveling, and light carpentry, and other items like this that the service ministry has taken on over the years. And also, the benevolence line at the very bottom of the second page is used to help bear one another's burdens by helping pay bills that someone maybe cannot afford to pay on their own in times of crises. The support line, the support that this budget gives to the New Hope Women's Shelter, to Teen Challenged, and to His Hands Support Ministries is also an example of helping bear burdens for others who cannot carry the load themselves. And look with me now at Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. Again, the words of Jesus. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the least of these, my brothers, did this to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" So we got a couple of line items to get after this in full force. Bridging the Gap. How many meals did you guys do yesterday at Bridging the Gap? I think it was in the late 40s, I believe. I think Jeff's praying, so I don't think we have a number. What was it? 58 meals yesterday served from the Bridging the Gap ministries. And they were good. I had some of the dessert. The dessert was very good. And we do this, we feed the elderly and shut-ins and those in need of some social contact that they don't get on a regular basis. And then there's the prison ministry as well that relates directly to this passage. And there's more to be done in the prison ministries, but Dale is already a presence in Franklin and Somerset County jails. And our hope is to identify what the needs are in that kind of area and then get after those needs. Look at me now at Acts 1, verse 8. It reads like this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." See, these are the words of Jesus spoken to his apostles before his ascension. And this is one of his charges to the apostles and really to all believers. And it is fulfilled in part by our CD ministry. The CDs of each sermon are sent all over the country. And I know for a fact that at least some of these CDs are then shared a second and a third and maybe even a fourth time with others beyond their initial recipient. And we also accomplish the Acts 1:8 challenge through short-term missions, sending some of our own to go and be his witnesses beyond Franklin and Somerset counties. In years past, we have sent people and money to construction projects, both in-state and out-of-state. We have participated in sending some of our own people to Haiti and to other international locations to do the works of service for God. And we also accomplish this through the mission special offerings We have Lottie Boom coming up that Cliff announced this morning. And we have an Easter offering, which supports missionaries in North America. And we have the Beulah People's offering in the fall, which goes to support New England missionaries. And our support of the Maine Baptist Association guarantees the churches in Maine have the resources they need to reach their communities and the communities near to them, their own Jerusalem, and then their Samarias and Judeas as well. Our support of the Baptist Convention of New England, or BCNE, supports the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, which supports missionaries literally all over the world, both home and abroad. And more directly, we also support His Hands Ministries, which is proclaiming the gospel in many different regions of the world right now. Jesus also gave His disciples this charge, found in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, which reads like this: "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So much of what we do as the body of Christ is wrapped up in the Great Commission. This concept of mission work can be summed up in the very first word of verse 19, right? Go. And we are sending in many ways. And we're also working hard at the remaining pieces of the Great Commission. We are making disciples or students through all the teaching ministries we've already highlighted this morning: Sunday school, GEMS, junior church, men's ministry and women's ministry, Vacation Bible School and youth group. Disciple making is happening in all of these places. And we are baptizing. We baptized more people in 2018 than we have in any other year in the history of Western Mountains Baptist Church. I believe the number was 15. 15 people entered the waters of baptism this year. And then this idea of going is also part of what we are doing through evangelism, and more particularly at Kingfield Days and at the Kingfield Pops, where we're going there and being a presence for God in our communities. We did it, Dean and I did it last night at the downtown celebration. I don't even know what you call that. We got a chance to share the word and to pray with the people of Kingfield last night. And it is my hope that we use these events to earn that invitation to have the conversation. And please don't miss this, right? We do not go and do in our own strength, right? But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We do all of this in the power and the wisdom of Jesus, with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, guiding us along the way. Well, look with me now at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. The writer says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture, because it makes it so clear that this Christianity thing is supposed to be done in community. You hear me? Both in verses 24 and 25, they emphasize the importance of other believers in our lives. We are called to stimulate to one another to love and good deeds. We are to assemble together for the purpose of encouragement, the building up of the body. Well, items like the fellowship ministry are clearly directed to bring us together for the purpose of building relationships and giving us opportunity to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We meet together at least once per week, right? Right, like we're doing right now. And for some of us, it's much more often than that. Again, so that we may encourage one another. In this Sunday morning service, the intent is to encourage and to teach and to worship and praise our God and King. And line items such as the praise team music, our technical line and our worship supply lines are there to enhance this experience. And many of the line items on the second page are also intended to make this experience a good one for all who attend and for any who come to this building during the week for other events. The lights are on, right? We keep everybody warm, comfortable. It's 32 degrees outside. It's warm in here. We keep the building generally clean. We keep the grass mowed. We pay the insurance in case of property damage. We keep the parking lot plowed and sanded in the winter. We pay our mortgage. We have a phone so that the public can call and get information about who we are and what we do. Let me walk you through a typical week at Western Mountains Baptist Church. It starts like we are right here this morning, right? But it starts much earlier than 10 o'clock. At 8 o'clock when the praise team and the technical folks come to practice for the regular service. And then at 9, Sunday school begins for anyone from pre-K right up through adults. And then our regular service begins, as you know, at 10. On Monday, the men meet for a Bible study from 6:30 to 8 or so. And every other Tuesday, we have either a pastor, elders, deacons meeting or a church leadership team meeting. And on the off Tuesdays, the women gather for fellowship and Bible study. So somebody's here every Tuesday night. Wednesday mornings, a group of women meet for a Bible study at 9 o'clock. Thursday nights, the youth group meets here at 6 p.m. On Saturday nights, a group comes and meets for prayer at 6 p.m., praying literally for this service, praying for our communities, praying for other churches in our area, and whatever other specific needs might come up to this group. On the first Saturday of the month, the men gather for a men's breakfast. And man, was it good yesterday. If you missed it, you missed it. On the last Saturday of the month, Bridging the Gap prepares and delivers meals using this building as a home base. I try to be here in my office at least on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as Wednesday mornings while the women have their Bible study. I'm sometimes here on portions of Mondays and Fridays and anytime by appointment. And my point in laying this all out is that this building is under continuous use all through the week. And the operating expenses help make this all go. Now, I get the joy of addressing a sensitive subject, for if you do the math, the expense of a full-time pastor is somewhere around 35-36% of this proposed budget. So I want to share a scripture with you on that. 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. They read like this. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." So next week, you all get to decide if I should be considered of worthy of a double honor, and whether or not you think I work hard at preaching and teaching. You all see a portion of what I do week in and week out from this pulpit, and some of you see what I do during the week as well. I'll just say this, that my faith and my trust is in God, and He'll provide all my needs according to His riches and glory. Well, that gets us through most of the budget, so I want to close with this. It's a challenge, really, and it's not a challenge by me. It's a challenge by God, and I'm simply passing it along, for God already stated it. It's found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Malachi 3, 8 through 12 says this. "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, 'How have I robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows.'" Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Let me set the stage here. The people of Malachi's time were asking for God's blessing, yet they were not acting in obedience to God by giving back this small portion of all that God had already provided them. So God, through Malachi, asked the question, will a man rob God? Are we robbing God by our lack of obedience in our giving? But then the best part says this, bring the whole tithe, that's 10% of the first fruits, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. Hear me on this. The same God of Malachi's day says this, test me now in this. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bring the whole tithe, and then what? See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. God continues in verse 11 and 12. Not only will I bless you, but I will also protect you, right? God promises to rebuke the devourer, that is Satan, so that he will not destroy the fruit of our labor, whatever that labor might be. All the nations will call you blessed. As God does all this for those within his family, will it not become obvious that good things are happening within the body of Christ? Will it not be obvious that God is at work in his people? Think of the impact we could make beyond what we already do. See, I believe this. I really do think that the world would call us blessed and we would be a delightful land, for we would find ourselves in the center of God's will, following him in humble obedience. See, I truly believe that giving, tithing, is really all about this common theme we have been on. It is about humble obedience and faith, right? God is saying in this passage in Malachi, do you trust me to provide all of your needs on 90% of your income? Or would you rather live on 100% of your income without my blessing? What will be our answer? What will be our answer? Well, let me conclude with this. The purpose this morning, the purpose of this message is to first inform. I want us all to be aware of what we do as a church body with the funds that each of you provides as part of your tithes and your offerings, your giving. But much more importantly, I want us to see that giving is something that God sees as important, because we're stewards. We are caretakers of what God has blessed us with. See, that's what King David was telling us this morning in 1 Chronicles. It's what the psalmist told us this morning in Psalm 24. As we give back, God says, I will bless you to overflowing. I will protect you from the evil one. I will show you such favor that the community will see it and call you blessed. So, take the challenge this coming year to support the work of the church and to see if God will not pour out blessings that you cannot even contain in your storehouse. Let's pray. Father, I know from my own experience the way you have honored that promise. I know from the experience of others in this room hearing their testimonies over the years, that you've honored that promise. Lord, I pray that as each one examines their heart this morning, that you would work in them, that you would work through them, that you would open their eyes to all that is going on around them in this church, the ministries of this church. And there would be a desire not just to support the work here financially, but also to roll up our sleeves and be part of it. For you created each one to play a role within the body of Christ. Eyes and ears and hands and feet. Each one with unique gifts and talents, Lord, that you call to come together to glorify your name together as the body of Christ. Father, may we understand what that looks like. May we desire to be a part of it. May you guide and direct us with your wisdom as to how to make that all happen. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.